Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Since Texas adopted SB 8 and then with the overturning of Roe v. Wade, OBGYN doctors in Texas have been in the target zone, a place that they don't want to be. A new study shows that these doctors are making tough decisions about their futures in Texas, which would impact overall health care in the state. We're joined by Dr. Daryl Kirch and also Alex Morin with the Manette Healthcare to talk about their study, the Texas OBGYN Physician Workforce Study. And welcome to The Source. It's great to have you all.
Thank you, David.
So Alex Morin, tell me about this study. What is about this assessment of the impact of abortion restrictions on OBGYN workforce?
So this study represents the first of its kind, a comprehensive view on the workforce implications post-SB8, post-op, specific to Texas, leveraging statewide surveys of OBGYN physicians and resident physicians, as well as interviews with residency program directors in the state, as well as a comparison state that we selected in Illinois. And it shows that due to the Texas abortion laws in Texas, historic shortages and distribution imbalances of this critical workforce are now being compounded. And the sort of primary conclusion overall of the study is that we've got early, but I think rather clear indicators that the OBGYN workforce is under significant added pressure as a direct result of these laws, and further indicators that for some, the pressure and complexity is enough to cause them to make changes to how and where they practice, which ultimately will impact negatively access to healthcare services statewide.
Our phone lines are open. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. I really would like to hear from folks who are in the healthcare industry and if they have been impacted, if they have reservations. How are they feeling about the restrictions of abortion care in Texas? It's impacting your job. Also, anyone who is seeking a care and you're having trouble finding someone who can provide it for you, I want to hear that story because it would be very, very instructive and helpful. 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So, Dr. Daryl Kirch, can you talk to me about what doctors are saying to each other? How are they discussing their future in the state?
David, I am deeply concerned about the stress that's on doctors, especially OBGYNs in Texas. I entered medical school 50 years ago. I've served as the dean of two medical schools. I've been the CEO of a teaching hospital and headed the Association for Medical Colleges. And we've struggled in the United States to have good access to healthcare even before SB8 and the Dobbs decision happened. This is a disruption to the women's health workforce, unlike anything we've seen anywhere in medicine nationally. It is really causing doctors to feel that they can't meet the basic standard of good women's health care, that women are being unnecessarily put at risk when they experience miscarriages or things like an ectopic pregnancy. One of the doctors used the term moral injury to describe their distress at having a patient in front of them and knowing that given the restrictions that have been placed on them, they can't meet what is the nationally accepted standard of care for that patient. So what I'm hearing is all the signs of a workforce under stress. Now, these are early signs, as Alex mentioned, but it takes a long time to produce doctors between undergraduate studies, then medical school, then residency. That pipeline is very long. So if Texas has a severe disruption in its women's health workforce, it will take years or even decades to correct that. So as I said, this is a situation unlike any that I've ever seen in my 50 years of leadership, really, in medicine and healthcare.
Alex Morin with the Manette Healthcare. Your reporting says that that these doctors feel like they don't have a clear understanding of the Texas abortion law. Almost 30% of these respondents say they're confused. And people don't go to their doctors expecting them to be confused about something as basic as what you can and cannot do. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. And I think related to that, not just confusion about what they can and cannot do in a particular situation with their patient, but underlying that, another finding in our study is fear about the legal landscape and what might happen to them should they enter into a course of treatment that may conflict with what they perceive to be sort of a gray legal landscape. And so there's both confusion as well as fear, which, as Daryl is pointing out, is adding to this this sense of stress on an already stressed and stretched workforce. And as a result, the data shows that a significant number of current physicians and resident physicians are taking into account the Texas abortion laws and are making decisions that may cause them to, you know, leave the state, retire earlier, or take other actions which would prevent them from even being available in their communities to see patients.
So I'm really interested, Dr. Daryl Kirch, about how the abortion law is having these unintended consequences. They are impacting, this law is impacting women who have never wanted to have an abortion. That's not in their game plan. They want to have a healthy birth experience, the healthiest that they can possibly have. But unfortunately, correct me if I'm wrong, but this law is making that less likely. Is that true?
It can be very confusing for a doctor and a patient, given the complexities of maternal health. A woman can experience bleeding during their pregnancy. That can be benign, or it can be the indicator of a very serious problem. It's hard enough for the doctor to decide what does this patient need right now in time. But to have the specter of fines, of jail time, of losing their career, losing their medical license, hanging over them, makes it very difficult for the doctor to do what we expect them to do, which is to solely focus on doing the right thing for the patient and doing no harm to the patient. And we've already seen the outcomes of that. I mean, again, it's early in terms of the Dobbs decision, but infant mortality in Texas has gone up. And if Texas did not have the best situation about infant mortality prior to these decisions, now it's worse. So this is having real-world healthcare consequences. And doctors take an oath. They take an oath to do the best thing for a patient. And suddenly they've been put, these physicians and physicians in training in Texas, put in the position of feeling that at times they're constrained from giving that patient the care she needs.
Well, let me ask you really quickly. We're short on time. I want to ask you this question about the infant mortality number that we're having. And is that number going up because we have more women carrying a non-viable pregnancy to term, or is that number going up because women are having a harder time accessing healthcare from an OBGYN because many of these doctors are now unavailable, many are retiring, they're moving to other states, there's a shortage of that quality of care?
In my opinion, it's both. And when you have access problems around getting to a doctor, it especially hits people in rural areas and some of the urban underserved areas. And quite simply, I think it's an indicator that women and infants aren't getting the standard of care that we know from medical experience how to deliver. That's a tragedy.
And really quick, we have a minute here. Alex, what is the big takeaway that you want people to get from the Texas OBGYN Physician Workforce Study?
I'd say bottom line for your listeners, a worsening workforce shortage affects all Texans who need OBGYN care of any kind, not just abortion or family planning services. These laws that are in place focus on a subset of care that OBGYNs provide, but the ripple effect of those laws and the decisions, professional decisions that OBGYN physicians are making extend well beyond that in terms of potential access reductions and potentially longer term outcomes for women. So this is more than just access to abortion care, even though that's what the laws are focused on.
But there are people who are support the law, and they say that these OBGYN doctors are just being handy-panny, the sky is falling down, that no doctors have been arrested, and even though Dr. Alan Braid was sued here in San Antonio, and he had to go to New Mexico, they're saying that this is an overreaction. I mean, so we'll have to see how that develops. We're out of time on this conversation. I want to thank you, Dr. Daryl Kirch, and also Alex Morin with the Manette Healthcare to performing this study and talking to us today. I appreciate that.
David, thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you so much.
And when we come back from the break, we're going to hear about the Supreme Court decision yesterday that allows a Texas law to stay in place that says hospitals do not have to perform life-saving abortions. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. You are listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The U.S. Supreme Court yesterday delivered a victory to anti-abortion forces in Texas. The High Court let stand a court order that says the federal government cannot require hospitals to provide emergency pregnancy terminations even when the life of the mother is in danger. The decision is another setback for supporters of healthy childbirth in Texas. And for the last 2 years, there have been accounts of women who have had serious pregnancy complications, but they were turned away by Texas doctors. State Representative Donna Howard, chairwoman of the Texas Women's Health Caucus, expressed outrage at the U.S. Supreme Court's decision.
Yes, I am outraged that we are continuing to allow a law to be in place, been shown over and over again, to create potential complications for those who have complicated pregnancies and are not getting the medical intervention that they need. This is not something being made up. This is happening. People are being forced to be on the brink of death before physicians feel like they can legally intervene and use their medical practice, your medical judgment, to ethically practice medicine, or for the courts to say, we're not going to take that up because you think everything's just fine, is outrageous.
So let me just break this down. So under this law, EMTALA, which is the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, and the labor means childbirth labor, not like just working labor. So it's very specific in the law that this is going to, they're supposed to provide emergency medical treatment for childbirth, right?
Yeah.
Under the law, if someone shows up at a hospital and they're having a crisis pregnancy, then the hospital has to provide them medical treatment, and that might include an abortion. Is that right?
Absolutely. That's absolutely correct. And the abortion procedure, the procedure itself is the same procedure regardless of what the outcome of the pregnancy is.
In the mind of somebody who is opposed to abortion, they think that, oh, this law requires hospitals to provide abortions for anyone, like somebody who just wants to have an abortion? And that's not what this law is about.
That's correct. I don't know where the Attorney General got his idea that this was going to just open us up to be an abortion mill with people being able to come in and easily obtain abortions. That's not what this is about at all. This is about a complicated pregnancy that presented the emergency room and that have, well, as long as we've had hospitals and emergency rooms, and that physicians have absolutely been utilizing their medical judgment to abort pregnancy and had been doing it without any complications from the legal community, without any complications from the hospital administration, without any actual complications that I'm aware of from even outside groups saying, oh, no, no, you can't do that. This is the standard operating procedure that is part of the medical practice that has been done for years without anyone questioning it. And now all of a sudden, they've created this gray area that jeopardizes physicians for intervening if someone questions it, where they could use the medical license, get fined at least $100,000 or more, and go to jail, to prison for life. They're asking these physicians to jeopardize their own lives to intervene because they say, well, they should know. They can just do it. Well, no, it's not like medicine is not only a science, it's an art. It requires medical judgment. That's why we have doctors do this rather than robots, because we need people to use medical judgment. It is the unique situation between a patient and their doctor, and the unique needs of that patient.
But this really comes down to saving the lives of women who are having a crisis pregnancy, and they need medical care in an emergency situation. And they show up at the ER, and now the doctors say they can't help you. You are out of luck. You will have to be at death's door before they can provide the medical care that they know how to provide, but they just can't because they are handcuffed by this Texas absolute abortion ban. Is that right?
That's correct. And, you know, I am not a physician, but I've obviously visited with many obstetrician gynecologists who state over and over again that the law is not clear, despite what some of my legislative colleagues believe, despite what some of the pro-life, so-called pro-life OB-GYNs believe. The vast majority of the obstetrician gynecologists that are part of the American College of Obstetrician and Gynecologists will say, this is not clear. This is jeopardizing my ability to continue to practice. This is, like you said, we're having people coming in with emergency situations, but not necessarily yet ready to die. And that seems to be the crux of this, that they haven't developed sepsis yet, that they're not bleeding out yet. This is absurd to wait until the woman becomes so deathly ill before they can intervene. But that's the greatest of the law that we need to clean up at the legislature. And by the way, taking it to the state Supreme Court of Texas, they punted it to the Texas Medical Board for clarification. The Texas Medical Board has punted it back to the legislature. It's back in our lap. We need to address it in the next legislative session.
Ken Paxton's statement responding to the Supreme Court's inaction called it a major win, protecting the rights of Texas hospitals and doctors to refuse to provide abortions that are prohibited by the state law. He said that no doctor should be forced to violate his or her conscience or the law just to do their job. The thing is, in the law, in Malta, there is a provision for conscience. You know, if you are opposed to abortion, you do not have to provide one. You just have to get out of the way and allow a doctor who will provide that life-saving care. So the statement, and this is a statement that's being used in some of the reporting about what's going on, is disingenuous and needs to be clarified.
Oh, absolutely. And you are totally correct. There is a conscience clause that allows anyone because their religious belief does not want to perform the abortion to be able to step aside and not be required to do it. Somebody else needs to be able to step in to do it, and that's an important point as well, obviously. But there is nothing that is forcing anyone to do something that's against their religious belief. We just need to make sure that there is someone who can actually perform the procedure and take care of saving the patient's life.
I'd like to make the point that the Texas abortion law is impacting healthcare overall for everyone in the state of Texas. Now, we are seeing healthcare institutions in states with near total abortion bans like Texas seeing significant staffing challenges. In 2024, residency programs in states like Texas saw a 4.2% decline in applicants compared to other states where abortion is legal. They only saw a drop of 0.6%. As a result, many residency slots in states like Texas with bans went unfilled, resulting in reductions in incoming doctors in all fields and decreased funding for these institutions. So this is just one way that this ban is impacting overall health care in Texas. Your reaction?
Well, if that's inaccurate, we already have a shortage of physicians. It's a test of personal planning if they're providers. This includes, of course, our obstetrician gynecologist. There are, all of the vast majority of the county, on the total vote to a desert, they have no one there to provide the health care that they need. By the time when we have a shortage, and we need to increase the number of physicians that we have throughout Texas, we're doing things to dissuade them staying here or even coming here. Your point is well made about the residency program. That right now, because of the inability to get trained in abortion techniques here in Texas, you know, that's the technique that they need for complicated pregnancies that are wanted. The medical schools here are having to make arrangements with other medical schools in states where abortion is still legal, and these residents have to actually leave Texas with probably a couple of months to train elsewhere. That means that we're also completely losing those students that you need to be training in Texas, because oftentimes where you do your residency is where you end up in Texas. If we're sending them away, and we're doing it because there is a constraint on their being able to practice in our state, we are actually setting up a situation where we may be actually using those future doctors as well. So indeed, yes, this is not only in the OB-GYN area, but as you pointed out, there's a lot of physicians who have families who are of childbearing age themselves who don't want to work coming to you, knowing full well that if they had a complication, that they might not survive. And so they're making a choice to not come to Texas.
Right. And so I think the big point here is that the Texas abortion law is making childbirth in the state more dangerous, more deadly, because of the loss of OBGYN workforce that we have in the state. More than 70% of OBGYNs in Texas are thinking about leaving the state. They fear the repercussions of this ban. 1 in 5 have considered leaving Texas, and 13% are planning to retire early because of these restrictions. This impacts healthcare overall for women. And is that the point that really needs to be made?
Yes. I mean, I think there's several points that need to be made. First off, we want to save Texas moms and babies. And we know that we don't have the latest data from the Maternal Mortality and Morbidity Review Committee. But the last data we have that was reported a month ago indicated that as of 22 anyway, it looks like the maternal deaths are increasing. We know that we've also heard reports this last year that the infant deaths are increasing. So yes, indeed, it affects mothers and babies, but because it's dissuading physicians of all ilk from remaining in Texas if they are concerned about their own family.
Yeah.
And it can threaten the rest of the healthcare population as well.
State Representative Donna Howard is an Austin Democrat, and she is the chairwoman of the Texas Women's Health Caucus. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you for listening.